righteousness from God has been revealed, not by works. A righteousness that is from God is testified about by the prophets and the apostles. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came to us through Christ Jesus. Granted, the 501st anniversary of the Reformation didn't get quite as much hype as the 500th last year. But the joy that you and I have knowing that we are still saved by our Lord and our Savior is not limited to one particular Sunday when you and I rejoice that at one point in history, God used a person, followed by many people, to make sure that that amazing gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Christ, that the proclamation that you and I are justified because of the amazing gift of faith God has given to us through the work of our Lord and our Savior, and not because of something we need to do or need to go or need to accomplish. That's our joy every day. That's what keeps us on our guard. That's what fills us with the confidence and the assurance that we are God's children, and when this life comes to an end, we will be with Him in the glories of heaven. And until this life comes to an end, we are absolutely assured that He is with us through this amazing gospel. And so we listen to Jesus' words this morning, recorded in the gospel lesson for this Reformation Sunday, recorded in Mark chapter 13. And as our Lord and our God speaks to us, Jesus reminds us to stand on the gospel. Jesus spoke these words to His disciples late on Tuesday evening of Holy Week. After that very busy day, as Jesus is dealing with one attack after another and busily teaching the people during this last week of His time here on this earth, as they're leaving Jerusalem, the disciples comment about the temple and the buildings around it and how amazing it is and the large stones that were used. Jesus says that there wouldn't be a time when not one of those stones would be standing on top of another one. Not just sort of wrecked, but completely and totally destroyed. By the time Jesus says these words that we have before us, they're now sitting on the side of Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem, and the disciples had asked Jesus, "When is this going to take place? And tell us about the end." This is Jesus' answer. And as He answers, you and I take this encouragement to be on our guard as we stand on the gospel. Stand on the gospel, despite what happens around you. Stand on the gospel, despite what happens to you. Jesus began by telling them, "Be careful that no one deceives you. Many will come in My name, saying, 'I am He,' and will deceive many." One reason to stand on the gospel. As you and I look at the world in which we live, there are all kinds of things that are happening all around us. And so Jesus wants us to stand on that gospel despite the things that are happening around us, including in the church. In that organization or organizations where people claim to be listening to our Lord and to our God. And Jesus reminds us that there's going to be a time when there will be these people coming. There will be people coming in His name. In fact, there are even some who actually will say, "I am." Who will stand in Jesus' place. Who will stand as if they are the Christ. Who will try to take God's place in your life and take God's place in the words that they proclaimed. Jesus says, "Don't be deceived." Even though those things happen around you, don't be deceived by those who come claiming, "I am." Unfortunately, you and I know that many are deceived. There have been many leaders throughout the history of this world who have taken people off the gospel and led them to stand on something else. So stand on the gospel, despite what happens around you. Despite what happens even in the world around us. Whenever you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. Such things must happen, but the end is not yet. In fact, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You've seen all of these. As our Lord encourages us to stand on the gospel, He looks ahead into the future of this world and He sees all of those difficulties and all of those problems. There are wars. There have always been wars. One war going on over here, another war going on over there. There's always rumors of wars. No sooner do you get this little fire put out over here, but you got this kingdom and this nation, they're starting to get into the rhetoric, they're starting to rattle the sabers, and you can see that there's another war on its way. Groups gathered by culture stand up against another group, nations. Groups organized politically stand up against another, kingdoms, as they go at each other in this world. And then you've got the famines and the earthquakes and all of those disasters that take place. All reminders that the end is on its way. All things that perhaps could shake our confidence. All things that perhaps might lead us to say, well, the gospel obviously isn't working. We've been using it for the last 501 years and longer. Maybe we need to stand on something else. Maybe we need to try something new. Maybe we need to go elsewhere to try to fix all these things that are happening around us. Stand on the gospel. Don't be deceived. In fact, Jesus says, keep on watching. Since you know all these things are going to be going on, since you know all these things are happening around you, keep on watching. That is a constant thing. That is a standard thing. That is an ongoing thing that He wants you and me to be doing. And the reason He needs to tell us that is because every single one of us has the temptation at times to think that I don't need to watch anymore. I'm safe. I'm fine. I've learned it. I know it. Nothing is going to shake me. Nothing will rattle me. I will always stand on the gospel. And when you're thinking that way, maybe look down at your own feet. And maybe you might see Peter's feet on the water. Because as soon as Peter started saying, I can do this, I can handle this, that's when he started to sink. The moment you and I are no longer standing on the gospel, but we're standing on our own faith and our own strength, then we're deceived. And notice how those deceptions that Jesus talks about often fall into two broad categories. Oftentimes we are deceived to just assume that God really isn't all that important. He's sort of this disconnected entity. He's kind of hanging out there somewhere. We're sort of aware that He's around. We would kind of like to have a God who sort of minds His own business and He just sort of waits in the wings and He comes in and He steps in when I invite Him. But other than that, you just do your thing, God, and let me do mine. You're really not all that important. And the other generalization, which maybe isn't any different, is I become too important. My decision, my life, my goals, my happiness, my thoughts. Regardless of what God says in His Word, I'm going to stand on what I think. I'm going to stand on what I feel. I'm going to stand on what I understand. I'm going to stand on what I know. And push God off to the side. So despite what happens around you, even in the church and even in society, keep watch. Stand on that gospel. Keep watch as you and I rejoice in the fact that we do not need to be afraid. A lot of these things are scary. A lot of these things can be upsetting. But you and I have that assurance that our Lord and our Savior has overcome the world. That He lived in this world and He died in this world and He has defeated sin, death, and Satan. You are now His children. There is no reason to be afraid. Even when things become unsettled, Jesus talks about them as birth pains. Those of you who are moms know all about them. You also know the picture. Because you know that as soon as things start to hurt, a baby's coming. There's no baby yet. And you maybe don't know exactly how long you've got to go through this, but you know one is coming. Jesus reminds us that all these things that you and I see happening around us are reminders that the end is coming. It's not here yet. We don't know exactly when it's going to come. But it will come. stand on the gospel, despite of all that you see happening around you. But then Jesus gets personal. Because it's possible, as you and I look at all the things happening around us, to just simply say, yeah, that's too bad that those poor people have to do that. Yeah, that's too bad that those people over there have to deal with that false teaching. But what happens when all of those things hit here? Again, Jesus says, stand on the gospel despite what happens to you. But be on your guard. People will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake as a witness to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. He gets personal with his disciples as he talks about that time now in between, sitting on the side of the Mount of Olives with their Lord and their Savior, and when that end finally comes. All of these things that take place are not just going to be busily happening to other people. They are the ones who are going to be handed over to the councils. They are the ones who will be beaten in the synagogues. They are the ones who are going to be put in front of kings and emperors. They're going to be places they would not choose to be. They're going to be situations that they do not want to be in. But God put them there. All that happens, Jesus says, because of me. And you will be in that position where you don't want to be, and you'll have to deal with things that you don't want to have to deal with. But when that happens, you will be my witnesses. And that gospel will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Isn't it amazing how our Lord and our God helps you and me to stand on that gospel? How He helped these disciples stand on that gospel, even in those most scary of times, and turned it into an opportunity for someone who they would have never visited with otherwise to hear the good news of the forgiveness of sins in Christ. Even when it gets personal, even when these things happen to you, stand on the gospel and do not be afraid. Do not worry beforehand what you should say. Say whatever is given to you in that hour, because it will not be, because you will not be the one speaking. Instead, it will be the Holy Spirit. They might spend a lot of time trying to figure out what they're going to say if they end up in this situation or that particular thing happens. Jesus says, don't worry about it. When you're there, you'll have the words. For the Spirit is the one who will guide you. Does He say the same to us? As we stand on the gospel, despite what happens to us, do we have the same promise? Obviously, we do not have the same promise in the sense that you and I are going to have direct inspiration. That was given to the apostles. But you do have help. You do have help because of what those apostles were inspired to write and what was recorded. In fact, you have that help every time you stand up and turn around and you happen to look up at the banners that are there as you walk out of this building. You have help because on this day you and I rejoice once again in sola gratia, grace alone. You've got God's help. Even when things happen to you, you and I get to stand in His grace. It is not because you're so lovable. It's not because I'm so great. It's because God wants to love, and He wants to find somebody to love, and so He found you to love. We have help because it's sola fide, faith alone. It's not because of something we accomplished. It is not because of some sort of feeling that we've got. It's because God gave us the gift of faith, which holds on to the grace that He proclaims to us, that faith that latches on to its object, as we talked about last week, and it focuses in on Christ, your Lord, your Savior, your substitute, your Redeemer, your God. You have help because you've got the Scriptures. Scripture alone. You don't have to go dig it up. You don't have to come up with some kind of philosophy. You don't have to come up with some sort of pattern in life to get you through. It's all right there. All revealed to you. Recorded in that precious Word. And so we stand on the gospel. We stand because it's your forgiveness. every single sin washed away in the blood of Christ. No matter what happens in the world around you, no matter what happens to you, you're still forgiven. You're still God's child. You're still His redeemed soul. And so it's your grace. It's not going to run out. Not going to change based on how difficult things may or may not be. That grace remains yours constantly. The comfort's yours. The comfort of knowing that you will stand on the gospel because that's where Jesus put you. And that's where He holds you. And that's where He takes care of you. The encouragement is yours. As you and I rejoice that we get to stand on the gospel and we get to hold that very same gospel that John saw in the Revelation. That everlasting gospel that goes out to every nation and tribe and people and language. It has gotten to your nation. It has gotten to your people. You've heard it in your language. You get to be the ones that take it the next step. Because there's other people out there who are struggling too. Others who have things happening around them and happening to them. And they have no idea where to stand. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know where to go. And so God puts you there. Perhaps even a place you wouldn't have chosen to be. But God puts you there so that you can say to somebody else, stand on the gospel. That's what will hold you up. And stand there, despite what happens around you. Stand there. Despite what happens to you. Amen. Please stand. And now that peace of God which surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.